Wow. You know, it's when the anointing hits you, when the Holy Spirit it falls on you, when God is in the place, it's real difficult to be angry. It's real difficult to be mad at people. It's real difficult to be cynical. You know, it's easy to get cynical, but when the Holy Spirit hits you, you know, that all goes out the window, because you know what? When the Holy Spirit touches, it heals. And it just moves. And we just need to ask God's Holy Spirit to touch them. When we pray for people on Sunday, we need to ask God's Holy Spirit to touch them, because when the Holy Spirit comes, that's the hands of God just moving and doing things. And when we talk about the anointing, sometimes you might say something about, what's he mean by the anointing? That's the touch of the Holy Spirit. There's an anointing of the Spirit that comes, and it just touches, and it just sort of melts the hearts of people. Many times when a person comes to Christ, it's because the Holy Spirit's anointing has been upon them, and they've come to a place where they've come to recognize who they are without God, and then they recognize what God has done for them, and it changes their life. When you see someone come to the altar for prayer, it's because the Holy Spirit's anointing has touched them, and they want to come into the very presence of God. You know, some might say, well, Pastor, how can you sit, stand and worship God for, you know, a half an hour at one time? It just seems so long. No, it's not long at all. You know, it's like you get into the anointing of God, get into the Spirit of God, and that's all you want to do. I mean, you just want to just continue to worship, because his presence is so sweet. It's really interesting, because a lot of times me and Ann will talk about, you know, sort of the what I'm going to be talking about that week, and I'll give her a sentence, maybe a scripture, and that's it, you know. And I gave her something for this week, and I changed in the middle of the weekend. God gave me something else that I should talk about, and I thought, I'm going to come in today, and it's not going to be anything that Ann has picked out to play, because I don't know what she's picked out to play, because she picked out something for what I told her earlier in the week. And so in the middle of the weekend, God said, I want you to talk about something else. And so I came with the expectation of it not matching, okay? But I don't know what happened with Ann, because she didn't pick out any songs that matched what I was supposed to talk about. So what I'm talking about today matches more with what she picked out. Now, I don't know if she's up in my brain reading my mail or something, but I think it's God speaking to her, because what I really want to talk about is the grandeur and love of God, and how he ministers to through us. The grandeur and love of God can be ministered through us. So it much more matches with what she picked out. Good job, man. Holy Spirit. I want to start off with chapter 11 of Hebrews. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, that's known as the faith chapter. I'm going to steal a little bit of what was talked about in our men's breakfast. I don't know, is Mike here? Where's Mike? There he is, right there. Mike, I'm going to steal a lot of what you talked about. I'm not going to steal it. I'm just going to borrow it. I'll give it back to you after I'm done. But a lot about what was talked about in men's breakfast. Men's breakfast was really great. I think we had about 15 or 16 people, something like that. And it was really excellent, and Mike spoke, and I'm going to share a little bit of what he talked about. But we go to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter about God's power and anointing. God's power and anointing is there to bring us to Christ, but it's not there just to bring us to Christ. It's to make us like Christ, so that we're doing the things that Christ did. That when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, you know, the things that I do, you're going to do as well. And greater things are you going to do, because I'm going to go to the Father. So when Jesus left to go to the Father, when Jesus left to go to heaven after he had gone into hell, and then he was resurrected on the third day, and he went into heaven, he sits at the right hand of God the Father, being God in the flesh, being our Messiah, being our go-between, sent his Holy Spirit down to us so that the Holy Spirit could come in and indwell us, and the anointing of God could be on us and be on our own lives, so that we can become like Christ. In everything that he did, we can do as well. When he prayed and laid hands on the sick and they recovered, we can do that as well. When he sat there and brought people to himself and ministered the word of God to them, we can do that as well. When someone came and gave their life to Christ, we see the disciples doing that all the time. bring people to the knowledge of God. That's what we're to do. And we do that through the Word of God and the anointing that the Holy Spirit is upon our life. Boy, that was some good preaching. Somebody should say amen to all of that. That's right. See, being a Christian and going to church isn't just a matter of filling a pew, sitting in a seat, being entertained for an hour, or in our case, an hour and a half. It's to become like Christ in everything. That's the majesty and the wonder of God's redemption and His redemptive plan. His redemptive plan is to make us like He is. As He is, so are we in this world. Someone say hallelujah. As He is, so are we in this world. He says we are ambassadors for Christ. Paul made that very clear when he said, you know what, the things that I used to do, I don't like to do, but now I do the things that I don't want to do. But thank thee God, I've got the victory in Christ. And he says, now I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And so the things that I do by the name of the Lord, by the name of the one who saved me. And that's a call for all of us. That's a blessing for all of us, His majesty. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and some practical things about that. In Hebrews chapter 11, the first verse says this, now faith is the substance. Everyone say substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. In other words, faith isn't always seeing what you prayed for. It's believing what you prayed for, whether you see it or you don't see it. That's the power and majesty of God. See, Jesus didn't see everything in the physical. He prayed for it and believed it in the spirit, and then it manifested in the physical. And some things he didn't see until he left the earth, because he poured into his disciples. In fact, Jesus, one of these times, I feel a little bit better about myself, because, you know, sometimes if I preach a sermon and it angers you or something and you walk out, I feel a little bit better about myself, because Jesus preached a sermon and 70 people left. He lost 70 people in one day. I'm thinking, man, Jesus, you need to take a church growth course, okay? See, Jesus wasn't as concerned about numbers. He was concerned about truth and righteousness and power. He wanted those that listened to him to understand what the truth was, not what would keep them coming to him. The anointing of God in the Son of Man and the Son of God. And he pours that out to us as well so that we could do that. And it's so much of a shame that we don't follow in the footsteps of Jesus, because we're afraid, well, I just don't think the power of God is there, or I don't think it's going to work for me, or I don't think it's going to happen. The thing is that the anointing and the power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you if you've received Christ. Now, just stop and think about that. We're going to see, I just encourage everyone to come back tonight, as many as you who can come back tonight, at 6 o'clock, because we're going to see the power of God. But there is what we see tonight, there is no power. In fact, next week it's going to be revealed to us. It's going to be great next Sunday night, because it's revealed to us. The power that's in God overshadows everything we're going to see tonight. And your brain is going to be blown away tonight with what you see. God is that big. Yes. If God is that big, and the same anointing that fills all of heaven is that big, and that same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead is that big, and that same anointing resides in every single believer who's received Christ as Lord, is there anything we can't do? The only thing that limits us is what's in here and what comes out of here. That's what limits us. And we need to change the way we think. See, we don't pray and then wait for it to happen. What we do is we pray and we believe for it to happen. And then we go on and we say, now, God, it's in your hands. Because I've already done what your word says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that we don't see. Okay, so we believe, but we don't always see it. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now, listen, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, let that sink in for just a second. He says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible, which actually appear. So everything that we see was made from something that was not that was not visible, that could be seen. It's the word of God, the faith of God. The word and mixed with faith, and the whole world was framed by God. Everything that we see was made by God's word. Everything. And that's not just hyperbolic. I don't know, one of those. By the way, Stephen didn't know what it was. It was hyperbole. It's not just hyperbole. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. Everything that the chairs we are here, the material to make the chairs that are here, were placed here by God, by His Word, by the power and the anointing of His Spirit. And the same power that created everything that we see resides in each one of us. We just let it sit dormant. We don't use it because we don't believe. Because if we believed, we'd pray more. Let me just ask you this. When was did anyone go this last week and spend at least a few minutes in the Word of God this last week? If you didn't, why not? Let me ask you this. If there's anyone that went this last week or 2 weeks and you didn't get into the presence of God and pray just a little bit, talk to Him. I'm not talking about praying before you eat. I mean, really sit down and talk to God and pray. Is there anyone who needs a miracle in your life, in this place? Is there anyone who's hurting about anything and you want God to change something? Have you prayed about it? Why not? Because we don't believe. You don't believe. Because if you did believe, you'd pray. If you really believe that the anointing and the power of God resides within you, and you really believe that God really hears you, and you really believe that prayer makes a big difference, you'd sit and pray because you know that the power of God rests inside of you, and the words that you say, the thoughts that you think, the attitude of your heart will change, just like God said, the whole world, just like the Word says, the whole world was framed by the Word of God. Our world can be framed by what we believe and what we say. That doesn't mean everything's going to happen the way you want it, but it does mean you're going to make a big difference to those that are around you by the way you speak, what you say, your attitude of your heart, and what you believe will change everything that's around you. Just like the worlds were framed by the Word of God, what you say and believe and think and what you hang on to is truth, that will change everything that is around you. Too often, we, instead of changing things, too often we let things change us. Okay? Bad things happen to good people sometimes, and bad things happen, and immediately it affects what's going on inside of us. And see, that's not the way the strong believer is to act. What the strong believer is to do, no matter what is going on the outside that's trying to come in on the inside, we need to take what's already on the inside of us, which is what? God and His Word, and make it penetrate that which is on the outside. See, that's what Jesus did. He didn't let the negativity of the Pharisees, He didn't let the negativity of the lawyers and the scribes and the publicans who were sinners, He didn't even let those that He walked around. He didn't let the disciples penetrate His heart. Instead, He took what was in Him and gave it to everyone. When Peter said, "No, Lord, that's not going to happen. You're not going to go and get crucified." Jesus looked back at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't hold to what God holds to. Get back. Let me tell you, this is what's going to happen. He was the one who pushed back against what was trying to come in. Satan came in when he was in the desert for 40 days and said, if you be the Son of God, do this. If you be the Son of God, do this. If you be the Son of God, and Jesus rebuked him every time and quoted the Word of God to know, I'm a believer. That's what we would say. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And that's how we're to be. Turn with me, if you will. I want to go to the scripture. It's in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter. Jesus and his disciples are getting ready, or have actually gone to Jerusalem, and they're passing by. He went into Jerusalem. As he was coming out of Bethany, in verse 13 of Mark 11, verse 13 says, and seeing from afar, he saw a fig tree, and it had leaves. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it so that he can eat. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Now, Jesus spoke that. Nothing happened at that moment, okay, because they kept walking, they kept going. And they went in and did their business. But as they were coming back out, and they had passed by that fig tree again, something amazing happened. And in verse 20, when we jump down to verse 20, it says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Amazing. Didn't happen when he said it, but it did happen when they were coming back. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. He's trying to penetrate their mind. He's trying to put in their heart to realize that faith in God does not always mean you're going to see something, but it will mean that you will see it if you'll continue to trust in him and believe. He says, for assuredly I say to you, now this is verse 23, whosoever will say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things that you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. How many believe that if God puts it in your heart to pray to move a mountain from here to there, and you pray, how many of you believe that it will happen if you believe? Isn't that what the scripture says? Now, that might be hyperbole again. He might be using hyperbole because he doesn't intend for them to move the mountains. When he comes back, he's going to move the mountains. But what he does intend for them to do is whatever they believe in their heart, whatever they think is the will of God, when they pray, that things move and things change. That's the power and of the anointing of God in our heart and in our life. The same anointing that created the stars is the same anointing that lives inside of us. Someone should say amen to that. Really? Really? Do you believe that? Yes, no, maybe. Therefore I say to you, verse 24, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So again, that's the power of God working in us. That anointing that raised Jesus from the dead is the same anointing he's put in us, that we can believe and pray for the things. Now, yes, it needs to be the will of God. That leads me to the next scripture. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Because another situation happens, and a person brings a boy who's sick, and they bring the boy into the presence of the disciples, you know, they bring, because, you know, Jesus is doing these miracles. Surely the disciples can help with this. I mean, they've seen Jesus, they know Jesus, they're walking with him, they're in the same ministry. So they bring him to the disciples, and let's see what the disciples do. He says in chapter 17 of Matthew, verse 14, he says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.'" Okay. "Then Jesus answered," and you would think Jesus would answer real nice, "Oh, well, you know, they do their best. Oh, well, as long as, you know, just, yes, you know, they're just, you know, you should have brought them to the doctor, okay? You don't bring them to the nurse, you bring them to the doctor, right? Any nurses in here? Sorry, didn't mean to offend you. You bring them to the doctor." You know, he didn't say any of that. He didn't make excuses for him or anything. Jesus answered, he said, "Oh, you faithless and perverse generation." Oh, my goodness. "Oh, you faithless and you perverse generation. How long will I be with you? How long will I bear with you?" He's kind of harsh. It's kind of harsh. "How long? Bring him to me. Bring him to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out? How come we couldn't do it? We know you're a little bit frustrated with us. Sorry, Lord. How come we couldn't do that?" Jesus, and what Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief," because you don't believe it. Now, this should be cataclysmic in our understanding of what it means to have faith. Because we didn't believe. That's why we couldn't do it. And there's so many things that we end up not being able to do because we just don't believe we can do it. He's trying to tell him the reverse is true. If you believe, then you can do it. He says, this is why you couldn't, because of your unbelief. "For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed." This was brought forth yesterday in the men's group, men's breakfast. And Mike brought a vial of mustard seeds. I'm going to show you some mustard seeds too. I got some too in my office. He says, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." However, he says, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So he says, what you need to do is you need to pray, you need to fast, you need to get to know me, because as you get to know me, you're going to know what to pray for. And when you begin to know what you pray for and you begin to believe it, then it's going to happen. But the reason it didn't happen, because you need to pray and fast a little bit because you don't know me. Let me just give you, I got it right here. I got a little pill bottle filled with mustard seeds. See that? Anybody see that? Can you see it better now? How about over here? Can you see it? You can't see them, can you? Or maybe you can. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to see if I can get this open. This is childproof, so I'll try and get it open. I'm going to try and get one out. Wow. I don't know if I can. No, I didn't do that. Thought I was going to eat them, didn't you? Here we go. I think I got one. No, I didn't get one. One. Oh, there it is. Oh, no. It's gone. I guess I better not try. I was going to hand one to you and let you pass it around. I guess I better. But Mike did this, and I think but see, you begin to see that it's, they're so. What does he mean? What this does is it makes a really strong tree. It grows into an extreme. But he says, you know what? If you just have enough faith to come to me and believe, it can happen through you. That is fantastic. I'm going to let you pass this around. Just make it, you see mustard seed. Those are what the mustard, that's the mustard seed that Jesus was talking about. Mike passed them around and we could see them, and because they were in our face. But it's unbelievable how small the seed is. You can't hardly see it, but it gives a great big tree that's strong. It says, if your faith, if you just have this much faith, just this much, then you can pray, speak to the mountain, and it will be done. That's all you've got to do, is believe. But here's the thing, is you've got to be able to see it, even though you can't see it. You've got to be able to trust. See, this is how someone comes to Christ. They don't come to Christ because they see all these wonderful things God has for them with their eyes. They finally see it with their heart. When I came to Christ, I began to see things that I couldn't see in the natural, which is my condition of my soul, and I could see the power and the love of God with my heart, and it changed my life. I'm hoping that tonight, when you come back, you'll be able to see with your heart the power and the anointing of God just a little bit, and you'll say, wow. Wow. When I got saved, I finally could see God's love for me, even though I couldn't see it. I saw it in here. And I thought, that is what I've been looking for all my life. And that's what all of us are looking for. We're looking to be loved. That's why we'll go through all the painstaking problems that go with dating, because we're looking for someone to love us. We see somebody that we want to love. That's why we'll put up with all the messy diapers and all the headaches, because we love that little person and we see them love us, even though sometimes they don't act like it. Because sometimes we don't act like it either. But we see it. We see it. One final scripture. It comes from 2 Corinthians. And we're going to close. A lot of times we'll pray for things, we don't see things happening as fast as we'd like to, or sometimes we don't even see them happening at all. We're wondering, God, where are you at? And there may be some in here, and I don't want to deny that the hurt that happens, when you pray, don't seem to see God move. And I understand that can happen. But even when that doesn't happen, we can still see by the eye of faith, by our trust in what's in our spirit, we can still see. Because this is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to go to the 14th verse. It says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Look at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, because sometimes we would lose heart because not everything happens the way that we think it ought to happen, or it happens in the timing that we have, or it happens in the way that we would expect it to happen. And sometimes there's a waiting period. I think it was Daniel, I believe, prayed, and there was a waiting period there before God was able to get to him. Mike was bringing forth that yesterday. And he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Anybody see the movie Quo Vadis? I think I mentioned that maybe a week ago about Quo Vadis. If you ever see Quo Vadis, the term Quo Vadis is a Latin term, means where are you going? Okay, where are you going? And it's a movie about a Roman commander who is a solid Roman commander. It's an excellent, epic, biblical movie, more of a New Testament biblical movie. It follows the story of this Roman commander from the time where he is loyal to Rome and very pro-Rome and very pro-Roman army, kind of a person, very macho, but kind of a person. And he sees this beautiful Christian girl named Lydia. And he starts to fall in love with this girl, and he sees that she's a Christian, and of course she is a solid Christian. She's in love, falling in love with him too, but knows that he doesn't know God, and she's conflicted. And he begins to see this beautiful girl, and he sees that she's a Christian, and he says, "Well, you know what? I've got all kinds of gods. We'll accept Christ. You know, I'll accept Christ too. We've got all kinds of gods. We'll put a cross. In fact, I'll make a big old cross in our front yard. You know, I'll put it on the wall. It'll be great. You know, and I'll have him along with all my other gods. You know," and she knows that he's not getting it. He's not understanding it. That there's more to this than that. And as he begins to see her, he gets angry because she won't accept him for the way that he is. So he begins to get involved, follows her around. Sees that she goes to she's hanging out. He finds out she's hanging out with these Christians, and he goes to follow these Christians around. And he begins to see that, you know, there's something different about them. Now he's still not sold on this. But then he gets into the presence of Nero, and Nero, of course, if we believe the historical account, Nero burned Rome and then blamed it on the Christians, and then the persecution of the Christians during Nero's reign began to happen, which is historically true. He begins to see the power that's in the lives of these people who are ready to go to the Colosseum to be eaten by lions for their faith. And he begins to change. See, the anointing of God is working on this man. He's getting convicted because he doesn't see that kind of courage every day. See, in Quo Vadis, people were dying for their faith. And the Spirit of God touched him, and he became a Christian too, and was martyred for it. Even we don't lose heart, even though our outward person is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day by the power and the anointing and the wonder of God's majesty in us. And when people see that anointing on your life, they begin to look. And some will say, "I don't want any of that," because they don't want to give up their sin. But some will say, "There's something about that person, and I'm drawn to it. I'm drawn to it." Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18 says it all. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. Sickness, temporary. Struggling in your finances, temporary. Struggling in a relationship, temporary. Having problems at work, temporary. We don't look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen, those things are eternal. Everything God has promised us is eternal. Is eternal. That's what we see. That's what we think. That's what we believe. And that's what we say. It has to go through the whole process. And the more you do it, the better you get at it, the more you believe it, the stronger your faith. Jesus said, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And you get to that where that mustard seed becomes a little sapling, then it grows into a tree, and then it becomes a massive tree, and the birds rest in the limbs of it. And then you're not able, nothing that happens can move you anymore. Just like many of those Christians who walked into the Colosseum. and the lions came. And they just sang. And baffled Nero. What? And that was the final straw that brought the commander to say, there's something about this Jesus. When the world sees you like that, yes, some of them might make fun of you. So what? Some of them saw you come in here. They're already making fun of you. Some of them say, well, you're just one of them church people. Just go all the way. Pursue God. See the power of the anointing in your life, and it doesn't change things. I'm going to take a moment. Anytime you see someone come to Christ and then want to be baptized, it's because the Spirit has worked on them, spoken to their heart, and say, you need this, and draw on them. Just like that Roman commander drew him. You say, well, that was just a story. That is a story, yes, but it's a story that's been played out throughout the ages by millions upon billions of people. I included, happened to me. I know it's happened to almost all of you, if not all of you. But maybe there's somebody in here it hasn't happened to. And if God is drawing you right now, now's your time to see what it is all these billions of people throughout history have been willing to go to crosses to die on, vats of oil to be boiled in, pinnacles of temples to be thrown off of. What is it that's caused people to go to their death in a fiery on a fiery stake? What is it? This is what it is. It's the power and the anointing and the love of Jesus Christ in your life and in your heart. And that's what's caused people to say, I want more of him. I want more of him. And it's changed them. Let God change you too. Let's just sing a song. As we do, I'm going to ask everyone to stand on their feet. If you'd like prayer, you can come on up. I'd be glad to pray with you. There's someone that you want to pray for, that you know that I'd like to stand in the gap for somebody that I want to be touched. We can pray for them and believe that God's going to touch them. Be with them. Strengthen them. As we sing this song, then we're going to receive communion. You just let God move in you.
Sacrifice, knowing it's the least that I can do, make my life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Within myself, there's nothing I can do. And yet here I stand to offer all I am and give myself completely, Lord, to you. Take my life, a living sacrifice. Knowing it's the least that I can do, make my life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you.
On the 29th of Sunday, the 29th, we're having a guy
until I reach that place.
Big brother,
a little I have given up to you.
29th, if you can. It's 10 o'clock on Sunday morning.
It's
the weekend of the 29th.
My desires are wrong. I long to give my everything to you. Take my life, a living sacrifice, knowing it's the least that I can do. Sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Take my life, a living sacrifice, knowing it's the least that
we can prepare ourselves. We're going to receive communion. And as we receive communion, let's remember what Jesus did. He died for us that we might know him, that we might be in his kingdom, but that we would be like he is, praying, loving people, caring for them, ministering life to them. Father, we do that because we believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God and my Lord and Savior. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, while they were eating, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He gave it to them saying, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."